As I said, I prepared a spiritual gifts message and then discovered I was a week late. So we'll go ahead and do the spiritual gifts tonight and pick up with the youth meeting next week. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see that we are to use our gift. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. We are to use it in the church as good stewards of the manifold or the many faceted, many faces of the grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So when a preacher gets up here behind the pulpit, he needs to be focusing. His words need to be fully centered around God's word. He should not be speaking his own words. He should be speaking what God has given to us in his word. And he needs to be speaking it with the authority of God's word as well. He should not speak it wimply or weakly, but if it's God's word, it's God's word. And it has the full authority of God backing it. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. So in other words, we're to do all things to the best of our ability, right? We're not to be shirkers. We're not to do anything half-heartedly. Do it as of the ability, meaning as of the full ability, all the way, which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Okay? Brother Micaiah, could you see if that, I didn't have time to look, the whiteboard? If that picture from last week is still on there. But we're going to have a review real quick like we always do. There is one primary God-given motivation in each believer, given to each believer. The picture's gone? Okay. All right. Thanks. One primary God-given motivation that God gave to every believer at the time of their conversion. He gave it to us to serve Him. It's a God-given motivation to serve God. Each of us have one primary one, at least. We have one out of seven different gifts. And then God has given, I should say, the church eight primary ministries to accomplish His will in the world. So the church has eight primary ministries. We've seen the motivation gifts. We've seen the ministries. And then there are, last week, we covered the nine job categories. Last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the job categories or the operations that every Christian is assigned by God to do. We have nine jobs that we can do for God, and those jobs, of course, have a multitude of jobs underneath them. Okay, and when a believer begins to serve the Lord, he or she will nearly always gravitate towards doing a job that leans heavily upon the abilities inherent within the motivational gift that is in their heart. Okay? It's just a natural thing to do. When a new believer decides that they want to serve the Lord, they're going to gravitate towards doing something in the church that leans heavily upon the abilities that their gift centers upon. It's just what is a natural tendency. And the work of the church that relies upon your gifts, abilities, will be more enjoyable to you than those that rely more on abilities that you do not have that other gifts have. Okay? Now this only matters for a young Christian, because us older Christians are to grow into the knowledge and use of every good thing. Turn with me, please, to Philemon. I think that's Philemon. P-H-M. Yeah, that's Philemon. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Philemon. There's only one chapter, of course. Philemon, verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Okay, the communication or the sharing of thy faith may become effectual or may become even more useful and even more pointed like a sword by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we're to grow into the knowledge and use of every good thing. And of course, part of every good thing is the other gifts, the other things that make up the other seven spiritual gifts. And then turn to James chapter 4. Well, somebody, we don't need to turn there. It's part of our memory verse. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, so if we know to do good and do it not, we are sinning before the Lord. The Bible tells us that. So, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, the ones that rely on your gifts abilities will be, your gifts abilities will be more enjoyable to you. That only really counts for the young Christians who are just beginning to serve the Lord. They're going to, and I would encourage you to start out with serving the Lord in things that rely on your gift. This will give you more joy, and this will encourage you to serve the Lord. But the rest of us elder Christians, we're supposed to have learned and be learning how to use every good thing to increase our faith and increase others' faith. Okay? And then number 5 in our review, every evangelistic attempt extended to a lost person and every kind, helpful, or scriptural action we do for someone in our church or a friend is a fulfillment of one or more of these 9 job categories that God wants us to do for our church. Okay? These 9 job categories. Every good thing, every good, helpful, or scriptural action that you can think of, or every evangelistic action that you can think of falls somewhere under these 9 job categories. The word of wisdom, spiritual instruction from the Bible, God's word. And I have some verses to go along with that. Jeremiah 8:9. You can write that verse down if you're taking notes. The word of wisdom, spiritual instruction from the Bible, God's word. Jeremiah 8:9 tells us that. Number 2, the word of knowledge, biblically based moral, social, or scientific instruction. The word of knowledge is biblically based moral, social, or scientific instruction. In other words, it's knowledge from a Bible-believing creationist worldview. Hosea 4:1 tells us that. Faith by the Spirit, that's the instruction or action that builds or enables faith in another person. Hebrews 11:1 talks about that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The gifts of healing by the Spirit is working together with God for physical and emotional healing. And we learned in 1 Samuel 16 that this includes music. And number 5, the working of miracles. This is working together with God to meet physical needs. The greatest need of all being the need of the miracle of salvation in every heart. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then number 6 is prophecy. This is sharing of truth to others in order to edify them, exhort them, or comfort them. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Number 7, the job category, discerning of spirits. It very literally fulfills Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and then doing it. And then number 8, divers kinds of tongues. Of course, this would be working to get the gospel to those of other languages and into other languages. The gospel into other languages. And number 9 is the interpretation of tongues, which is working to bring the gospel into your language and to your people. So every job, anything that you can think of to do within the Christian life that is either evangelistic or trying to be a blessing to someone would fall into one of these categories. You're either trying to share spiritual instruction from the Bible with them, from God's Word, or you're trying to share with them biblically based moral, social, or scientific instruction science based on a creationist worldview, or you're trying to increase faith or build faith in somebody, or you are trying to work together with God for physical and emotional healing, or you're trying to work together with God to meet physical needs, or you are sharing truth to edify, exhort, or comfort, or you are proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and obeying it, or you are working to get the gospel into another language or to your own language. Everything that is involved, everything that you can think of, any good thing, mowing the grass, is part of these things. It falls under these things. Mowing the grass, let's see, where would I put that? Well, I would put that you could put that you're working together with God for building faith in another person. You're trying to encourage them, or you could put it under that you are working together with God for physical healing for somebody else who didn't have to do the mowing the lawn. Faith by the Spirit. You are, sharing of truth to others in order to edify them, exhort them, or comfort them. You mow the lawn to share, to exhort, or to encourage. So you can fit these things in any of these categories, in a lot of categories, but every job that you can think of, or every blessing that you can think of, fits somewhere in these nine things. Okay? So let's go move on. And also, before I move on, sorry, we should understand that one simple action, one simple blessing that we attempt to do for an individual or even a group could be accomplishing a wide variety of any of those nine jobs, especially when you consider and take into account the Holy Spirit's help ministering to a heart as you do something as simple as wash the dishes for an elderly lady or an elderly gentleman who can't get out of bed, and you're simply washing the dishes, but his or her heart is blessed in a great way, far beyond the fact that the dishes are washed. And so when you take into account the Holy Spirit ministering to a heart because of the actions you're doing, you could be a blessing in any number of ways in those nine jobs. Okay? But I'm not sharing anything new. This is all review tonight. And this is all review because I want the kids, the young people, to get an idea, a good idea of what it is we're talking about when we're talking about using your spiritual gift, okay? Last week I illustrated someone with the gift of giving, someone with the gift of giving, and we talked about what that could look like in their life. And tonight I want to talk about two other gifts. First of all, I want to talk about the Christian life of someone with the gift of mercy. The Christian life of someone with the gift of mercy. What could it look like? Okay, now this is just an illustration. Karen, put it down and look at me. This is just an illustration. This isn't how every person with the gift of mercy is going to live, and this is not how their life is going to play out. Okay, I'm not trying to be prophetic here. This is an illustration of someone with the gift of mercy. Okay, so pretend you are the person with the gift of mercy. First of all, you might be. I don't know. But apply this to you. God gave you the gift of showing mercy. This is your motivation for doing good, for doing right, for pleasing God. In fact, showing mercy is even how you do good, do right. And you simply love showing mercy to others. It is almost as if all the righteous desires that you ever feel have grown out of the root cause of mercy in your heart. And God gave this desire to you to use within one of His churches. So you have attended and have become a faithful member of Beaver Falls Baptist Church. But you soon learn that God wants you to work for Him and be a blessing to others. And since you love the Lord, and you are an exemplary member of Beaver Falls, you take it upon yourself to get busy helping others. And God has already given you a love of being merciful to others, so you naturally begin to look for people who are hurting, people who are fearful, people who have emotional scars, or persons that in any other way need healing or emotional support. You may not have any idea that you just began to work with God in the ministry of healings, because you may not have even learned anything about the 8 specific ministry projects of your church that God has given to us, the 8 ministries that our church is supposed to be working on. But regardless of knowing it or not, working with God in the ministry of healings is very much what you have begun to do. Reaching out to others most closely aligns with what you naturally love to do, so you simply begin doing one of the things that you enjoy doing and that you know is pleasing to God. Okay, so when a new Christian wants to start doing something for the Lord, they're going to do something that is enjoyable to their heart and that they know is pleasing to God, and that it will fall in line with their spiritual gifts, what's coming out of their heart, the motivation in their heart to serve God. And so, maybe even without knowing it, you have started doing your personal work within the church's ministry of healings. And that personal ministry that you are doing, that you might not even realize is a ministry yet, is the gift of healings, which is working together with God for physical and emotional healing of others. And what exactly does this look like in your life? Well, everything revolves around because you want to show, to offer, or give mercy to those around you, you do these things. Everything revolves around because you want to show, offer, or give mercy to those around you. Everything revolves around that statement in your heart and in the way you think even. So you start paying attention. How does that work? You start paying attention, and possibly you might keep notes of those in the church and even friends of the church people that have been hurt, those that are struggling, the ones who are sick, or those with emotional scars, sick with diseases, of course. You are especially aware of those who have gone through something similar to what you yourself have been through in your lifetime. You are especially aware of those who have gone through something similar to what you yourself have been through in your experiences. So you begin praying faithfully for God to bring healing to the lives of these that you have learned about and that you have noticed and taken note of and maybe put in a prayer journal. As time goes on, as you pray faithfully for these folks, God puts it upon your heart to not just pray for them anymore, but to also try to help them yourself. So you begin reaching out to them, offering your friendship and your care. You physically help those who are bedridden. You read verses to all those you visit. You try to be a blessing in the lives of people who are hurting in different ways and for different reasons. But you show them all that you care and help them in any way you can. But this is not all you do. You realize as you grow in the Lord that the greatest emotional need of all mankind is to have their sins washed away and to be free from the burden and guilt of sin. So, because you are a merciful believer, you begin praying for the lost to receive Christ. And then, as you pray, God burdens your heart to go and attempt to do what you can to meet the need. So, all because you love showing mercy, you begin trying to tell others of the great salvation offered to them by Jesus Christ. And you are faithful in this, no matter how badly you are treated, and no matter if you see someone saved or not. And why are you faithful? Because even if they didn't respond now, they now have the offer of eternal mercy, and they could come to salvation any day. You don't have to be there for them to respond to your message that you gave them a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. And you will not stop because you love giving others the chance to receive God's mercy contained in the gospel, and you love Jesus and are faithful to your Savior. So you don't stop. But as you grow in the Lord, you then realize there is more that you can do for Christ to offer God's mercy to others. So you begin teaching others in order to show them the mercy of God. You aren't a talker. Actually, you've always been a quiet type. But now you become outspoken for God. Not overly. But you have become your own small-scale preacher of the gospel because showing the mercy of Jesus to someone else blesses you to your soul. You are already a prayer warrior for the health and emotional needs of others. So as you grow in the Lord, it is a seamless transition to add praying for the health and well-being of others. Perhaps you also decided at this time to begin playing an instrument alongside the piano during services. And you also play special instrumental solos to bless the church with edifying music. You also begin reaching out to the young children at church. You begin having little Bible studies with them to teach them the ways of God. And you teach them the difference between right and wrong because you want them to know the mercy of God. But your merciful heart just doesn't want to stop. You have been blessed beyond words trying to help hurting people. So you begin a nursing home ministry. And then you begin a shut-in ministry. You even begin a lunch ministry for the homeless at the church a few times per week. And pretty soon you realize you are doing all of the personal jobs that you physically could do that God wants each Christian to perform for their church. You may not be able to be involved in any foreign language project, but you are doing as many of the 9 personal jobs that you can, just as God wants you to. And then you study your life a little deeper and realize not only are you doing 8 of the 9 personal jobs, but you are also involved in every ministry of the church, all 8 ministries. And lastly, as you take a look at your life, you realize at some point you weren't just showing mercy anymore. Somewhere along the line, as you were busy serving God, God taught you how to proclaim His word. As you were busy serving God, God taught you how to faithfully serve others. You are faithful in church and in reading your Bible so that at some point in time you learned how to teach the gospel. The Lord added to your faith the ministry of exhortation as you were faithful. He taught you how to coordinate your ministries and coordinate your time to fulfill your ministries. God taught you to give through all of this. You gave of yourself, you gave of your time, your energy, and even your resources to help others. But all because you wanted to show mercy to those around you for Jesus' sake. That's how it all works. That's how this all ties together. So let me go through it again. The Christian life of someone with the gift of ruling. The gift of ruling. And I did my best on this one. This one's really hard. Okay? It's hard to get the spiritual aspects all in here with someone who wants to coordinate. Okay, but I did my best. So God gave you the gift of ruling or organization. This is your motivation for doing good. This is your motivation for stepping out to be involved in service for God. You simply love having everything organized or getting things to run smoothly. You love getting things to run smoothly. It is almost as if the most important thing in all the world is being organized. If we are organized, we can do anything. That's your kind of like your motto. And God gave this desire to you to use within one of His churches. So, guess what? You've attended and have become a faithful member of Beaver Falls Baptist Church. But you soon learn that God wants you to work for Him to be a blessing to others. And since you love the Lord and you are a good member of Beaver Falls, you take it upon yourself to get busy helping others. And God has already given you a love of being and getting things arranged properly. So you naturally begin to look for people or details or ministries that are disorganized. Or ministries or people or things that just aren't getting anywhere. You may not have any idea that you just began to work with God in the ministry of governments, because you may not have even learned anything about those 8 specific ministry projects of your church that your church is supposed to be doing. But regardless of realizing it or knowing it or not, working with God in the ministry of governments is exactly what you have begun to do. Organizing things most closely aligns with what you naturally love to do as someone with the gift of ruling or governments. So you simply begin doing one of the things that you enjoy doing and that you know is pleasing to God for the church. And so maybe even without knowing it, you have started doing your personal work within the church's ministry of governments, which is the working of faith by the Spirit. The working of faith by the Spirit. And that is instruction or action that builds or enables faith in another person. Instruction or action that builds or enables faith in another person. And you have also begun working in this one, discerning of spirits, which is proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You've begun trying to make the church do things in an acceptable and timely manner. You want everything done decently and in order. So you have begun fulfilling discerning of spirits as well, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. But what exactly does this look like in your life? Well, as with all the other gifts, everything revolves around, because you want to be organized and you want those around you to be organized as well, you do everything you do. You start paying attention and possibly keeping notes of things in church that are in disarray or even slightly out of place. Ministries that aren't quite organized properly. Rooms that could be organized better. Things like that. You are especially aware of mistakes within the different ministries of the church that you have made personally in your life and had to correct in your own life. So you are especially aware of those mistakes. You begin praying faithfully for God to help the church be more organized and unified. Unified. As time goes on, God puts it upon your heart to not just pray for them, the church, but to try to help them yourself. So you begin doing some minor jobs for the church. You are encouraged by the difference these small changes make for the church or in the church. So you begin looking for larger projects to set in order within the church. But this is not all you do. You do that, and you do continue working on little projects, setting them in order. And sometimes you get a big project to work on. But that's not all you do. As you grow in the Lord, you realize that mankind has cast off their one rightful ruler. And because of sin, the world is in the wretched state that it is in today. And the only way to fix the problem is for individuals to come to the Savior in repentance and have their sins washed away. So because you see a huge problem that needs repaired in the lives of lost men and women, you begin praying for the lost to receive Christ. And then, of course, as you pray for the need, God burdens your heart to go and attempt to do what you can to meet the need. And you begin sharing with the lost the only way to fix their sin problem, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are faithful in this, no matter how badly you are treated, and no matter if you see someone saved or not, because the problem hasn't gone away. The issue is not resolved. The problem is just as big today as it was 50 years ago. And you will not stop because you love Jesus. You are going to be faithful to your Savior, and you love giving others the opportunity to repair the damage sin has done in their lives. But then you realize, as you grow in the Lord, there is more that you can do for Christ to have things done decently and in order. So you begin teaching the youngsters how to properly behave in church. You become outspoken for God, both within the church, training people in the right ways of the Lord, but also outspoken for God as an evangelist, pointing men to their rightful King. You are already praying for the lost to be saved, so you also begin praying for those who are sick, unhealthy, weak, or poor, and unable to be involved in the work of the church. Remember, you see people as an asset. And they're not here. They're sick. They're always sick. They can't do anything for the church. Better pray for them so they can be here and work for the church, work for the Lord. Perhaps you organize a children's choir or an ensemble around this time. You also begin doing an annual Christmas cantata with the children. And every July, you get the kids organized to decorate a float for the parade. You volunteer to get the church library into shape. You also take it upon yourself to get the homeless bags prepared in time for the handout. And pretty soon you realize, again, not again for you, but again as this story progresses, that you are doing all of the personal jobs that you physically could do that God wants each Christian to perform for their church. You may not be able to be involved in any foreign language project, but you are doing as many of the nine that you can, just as He wants you to. And then you look at your life a little deeper and realize not only are you doing eight of the nine personal jobs, but you are also involved in every ministry of your church. And lastly, as you study your life, you realize at some point you weren't just organizing things anymore. Somewhere along the line, as you were busy serving God, God taught you how to proclaim His word. God taught you how to faithfully serve others. You were faithful in church and reading your Bible so that at some point you learned how to teach the gospel. The Lord added to your faith the ministry of exhortation as you worked for Him. He taught you, a ruler and an organizer, how to have mercy on those who are struggling. He even taught you to give through it all. You gave of yourself, your time, your energy, and even your resources to help the church. And all because you wanted to help coordinate the church ministries and maximize the church's time. That was what was in your heart the whole time. So this is what it looks like. Let me give you a different picture. Okay? This is, if a church just had seven people in the church and we all had the different spiritual gifts, this was what the church would need. They would need the fellow with prophecy, or even the lady with prophecy, to have, if it's a man, they need him to have well-prepared sermons for the congregation. Man or woman, Bible studies to particular groups, and pointed wisdom to individuals, exposing sin, proclaiming righteousness, and warning of judgment to come. The one with the gift of serving, the church needs practical assistance to each member of the church to encourage him and to help him fulfill his responsibilities. The person with the gift of teaching, the church from them needs in-depth Bible studies with special emphasis on the precise meaning of words. From the person with the gift of exhortation, the church needs personal counseling and encouragement for each member to assist him in applying scriptural principles to his daily living. From the member with the gift of giving, the church needs generous programs of financial assistance to missionaries and other ministries. From the member with the gift of ruling or administrating or governments, the church needs smooth running organization throughout the church so that every phase will be carried out decently and in order. And from the member that has the gift of mercy, the church needs special outreach and concern for the precise and varying feelings of individuals with a readiness to meet their needs. And one last thing this evening. One more way of showing this, how this works, or giving you an illustration. How to use spiritual gifts. If each of the seven gifts were represented in a family of seven, and family of eight, and the eighth person, that person just dropped the dessert on the floor, here is what each person with the different gifts would say to that clumsy person. The person with the gift of mercy would say, "Don't feel badly. It could have happened to anyone." That person is motivated to relieve embarrassment. The person with the gift of prophecy, he's motivated to correct life, and so to correct the other person's life. So he would say, "That's what happens when you're not careful." The person with the gift of serving, they are motivated to fulfill a need, and they would say, "Oh, let me help you clean it up." The person with the gift of teaching is motivated to discover why it happened. So he might say, "The reason that fell is that it was too heavy on one side." The family member with the gift of exhortation, his motivation is to correct the future. "Next time, let's serve the dessert with the meal." The person with the gift of giving, their motivation is to give to a tangible need. I'll be happy to buy a new dessert. The person with the gift of administration or ruling, his motivation is to achieve the immediate goal of the group. Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please help pick it up. And Mary, help me fix some other dessert. So just to illustrate what that could look like in a family setting, so you understand it a little bit better. But that's it, that's the continuation of how it works, what it would look like in a person with the gift of mercy and what it would look like in a person with the gift of ruling. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this study, help the young people to understand it. Help the young people to realize that the important thing is to know what your gift is and use it properly so that you receive the joy and the motivation to continue serving the Lord. And Father, thank you for teaching us these things, and I pray that you bless them and use them in our church for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.